Surgeon College, but Clarence Brown.
Yeah.
Fine.
Hello.
Yes, how are you, Mr. President?
But I wanted to tell you that I'm most grateful for the way that you've been carrying the fight on that election reform bill on 315 and the rest. I just wish you luck as you go on.
Well, I appreciate that. I probably am not going to be on the conference.
Oh, you're not, huh?
I think the conference is going to be two Democrats and one Republican from Interstate and Foreign Commerce and from House Administration. And that means, in effect, that it'll be Hayes and Abbott and Sam Devine from House Administration and Harley Staggers and Torby McDonald and Bill Springer from House Interstate.
Right.
I think we got a fairly good bill. It's got a couple of clinkers in it, and of course, I think the whole thing can be won or lost in conference, so.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that'll have to carry it from here on.
When will the conference meet? In what period of time?
I really don't know. I would say that they would go to conference fairly quickly. Of course, the big problem for you, quite frankly, and we were concerned about this, is that there's a total repeal of 315 in the Senate version, and no repeal, leaving it just as it is in the House version. And I hope they don't try to conference that. They say, well, we'll repeal it for the president, but not for anybody else.
We
had a strong vote in the House, I think, for the House position in this regard,
so that
the conferees are in a position to hold that line.
Right.
We beat down, of course, the limitation on individual contributions, which I think will be helpful.
Yes, sir. Son of the election year, isn't it?
Yes.
When you the check off and all the rest, that's really something, isn't it?
Well, we're out to do everything. Yes, I think that's an abominable system.
Yeah.
We're out to do everything we can to see that we get you reelected, but unfortunately, you've got a lot of guys, as you know, in this business who you're sort of second maybe to their own reelection.
That's right.
And that's the problem, but
sure.
I think all in all, we held the line fairly well in that.
I think you did awfully well. On your feeling on the check off, you feel strongly about it, don't you? That we just can't take a bill that has it in it.
Yes, sir. I think it has some basic disadvantages for our country in the future. It encourages minor parties and that sort of thing. Frankly, that is to our immediate advantage, I think.
Sure.
But
as far as they're saying it, this hurts us in 72. That isn't the problem. It isn't. It makes much difference.
But you know, I think that a presentation on this, I'm very much worried. I'm also involved in some of the economic areas, Joint Economic Committee and so forth. And I'm very much worried about the veto of the tax bill and then maybe not getting that tax bill. I think you're between a rock and a hard place.
But
quite frankly, you know, they talk about people trying to buy the elections. There's a little difference between trying to buy them with the taxpayers' money and trying to buy them with your own money. I'm not sure there's merit in either case, but by golly, when somebody uses his own money, at least he's putting his chips on the table. But to put the average taxpayer's chips on the table, I think may be a little unfair. And I think we can oppose it on that basis.
Very good point. Even though tax money is his too, but it's still a different thing.
But when you take it and start distributing it around, why should I want to give any money to Ted Kennedy or Ed Muskie as a Republican, certainly, but suppose I'm a conservative Democrat and giving it to McGovern, or a McGovern Democrat giving it to somebody else. I just think
that's a
system.
It's a profound change for another reason that is not a good political argument. But basically, from the beginning of this country, we have to realize that when the franchise was limited basically to property, only 250,000 of the 4 million who lived in this country in the beginning voted. And through the years, the franchise has been somewhat limited, literacy tests, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The reason for it was really to see that the decisions were made by more responsible people. Now, we have now extended the franchise to everybody, of course, but on the other hand, insofar as the participation in campaigns is concerned, individuals who contribute to campaigns, for the most part, are the more responsible people, whether they be Republicans or Democrats. In other words, they care enough they've made a little money, they have a stake in the system, and they contribute. Once you set up a system whereby, the tax system, mostly, takes care appeared to be just as totally irresponsible as he wants to be. In other words, they talk about the viciousness of lobbies and so forth. Well, a lobby is a pretty good restraint on some irresponsible guys, as you know.
That's right.
If you're otherwise, you're just going to just slap the bed. Don't you think that point makes sense?
I think it makes sense. I don't know how appealing it is.
I think
I can come up with a more appealing personal approach, and that is that I am a free citizen, whether I've got multiple millions of dollars or just my widow's mite. And I may want to, you know, we learn from some of our church allegorical stories, the widow's mite can be just as vital in terms of a matter of conviction as can be large amounts of money. And if you look historically, and I think it'd be helpful if somebody researched this, if you look historically at those people who spent massive amounts of money to try to win campaigns, don't always win.
And oh, that's true.
What does this prove? Well, I think it proves that the average citizen has sense enough to know when he is being bought. He has sense enough, sometimes sense enough to know when he's being bought with his own money, too, through tax, you know, through those approaches of politics with federal money. The other thing is that we've had these vitriolic campaigns in our history, and I've looked through some old newspapers of our own communities when the Whigs and the Democrats were running against each other back in the 1830s, and the papers were violent as they were in the era of the Civil War against or for a candidate. And a lot of people read all of that vitriol and violence and still had sense enough to vote for sound principles and sound candidates. And that's why I think the proposition of running against the media from time to time makes some sense.
I think that
the average citizen still is a man of some judgment. If we don't believe that, we don't believe in our system at all.
Right.
And therefore, rather than just take his money automatically and let the government make the decision for him, the congressman make the decision as to how that taxed dollar shall be distributed, that he ought to be free, not with some tax advantage, but free to decide that he will or will not give his own substance, not somebody else's substance.
On a voluntary, on a basis where he himself decides to make a commitment, rather than a painless way of taking it out of, it doesn't cost me anything.
And I may not want to give it to the party and let some party leader decide who's nominated.
That's right.
I may want to give it to some noble individual that, you know, the abolition movement or anything else.
Sure.
For that advantage. I think there can be some good arguments made, and I think a great presidential speech and maybe some great congressional speeches can be made against it. It scares me to death that it's tied in with that tax thing. I think it tends to be a rule or ruin kind of approach from the standpoint of the Democrats. And, of course, I've made the point on television programs and others that none of these candidates could get back to the Senate to vote on a foreign aid matter, which had some significance. By golly, they all got there when the gravy was being flopped around on the political end.
That's right. Well, on the tax thing, of course, if we did go the veto route, it would be necessary to Congress in session, naturally. It would have to be done.
It makes an issue, Mr. President. Yeah. I think it can make a very strong issue to the citizens of the country as to whether the people in the Congress are more interested in politics or in the economic problems of the citizens of our country.
Right.
And I made a tape yesterday, as a matter of fact, where I said that the areas in which you had the opportunity to make the decisions, we were doing very well in with reference to resolving our economic problems, and that was holding down inflation and so forth, because you had the guts to go on with the freeze and some other things that took a lot of considerable temerity. And in the case where the Congress had the responsibility that you gave them, the tax legislation, the investment tax credit, the excise tax removal, and so forth,
they've done nothing.
That they haven't gotten it done yet, and when they did finally do it, they hung a lot of Christmas tree political stuff on it out of personal interest, and that this was an indication of the interest of our economic circumstance and the average guy's future and the country's future and who was looking at it from a political standpoint.
Very strong point. Well, we may have to start hitting a little harder.
Mr. President, you're very kind to call, and I want you to know I do appreciate it very much. And
thank you.
Keep working on some of these things. We get the message back home from time to time, and I think we're in better shape back home than we are in the Washington newspapers, but that's all.
I hope so. I hope so.